I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Tuesday, March 5th. Massachusetts is one of 15 states that will vote today on Super Tuesday, and it could be a busy primary day. There are more than 4.9 million registered voters in Massachusetts, and more than 484,000 of them already voted. According to Secretary of State Bill Galvin's office, about 90% were by mail, and around 50,000 people voted early. He added that there are far more independent voters this election cycle than in previous years. Since the start of the year, Galvin said more than 13,000 Democrats have unenrolled from their party, which now allows them to cast their ballots as independents today. Republican Party enrollment is also down 4% from last year. Polls are open from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. today, and all mail-in ballots must now be dropped off by the time polls close. Mail-in ballots cannot be mailed at this point. They must be dropped off. And here in Quincy, there is a drop box located right outside Quincy City Hall. In Quincy, a total of 8,158 voters requested mail-in ballots before last week's deadline, and 550 voters cast ballots during in-person early voting last week. City Clerk Nicole Crispo has said she anticipates about a 35% turnout of Quincy's 65,120 registered voters today, based on the turnout in previous presidential primaries. Today's ballot also includes elections for party officers. Each party's state committee is allowed to elect one man and one woman from each of Massachusetts' 40 state Senate districts. Here in Quincy, which is entirely in the Norfolk and Plymouth district, the Democratic candidates are unopposed. Joel Buenaventura is running for state committeeman, and Sandra Merrick is running for state committee woman. Both are from Quincy. The Republican ballot includes a pair of contested races. Alexander Haggerty, an Abington selectman, is running against Gary Innes of Hanover for state committee man. And Quincy residents Edith Hughes and Beth Venito are running against each other for state committee woman. No Libertarians are listed on the ballot in the committee races. The Democratic and Republican ballots also include races for local ward committees. Up to 35 candidates may be elected to each ward committee. Voters have the option of voting for the entire slate of candidates. The Quincy High School girls basketball team's season came to an end last night when the Presidents lost to Lexington 50-49. The Presidents had a one-point lead with 2 minutes 30 seconds left in the game when Lexington regained the lead with 2:10 left, leading to the final score. Quincy's Alyssa Hopps had 20 points but missed a shot at the buzzer. Quincy had made it to the Sweet 16 in the Division I state tournament, and they end their season with an 18-4 record. The first 14 graduates of Quincy College's new Pathmaker program, funded by a $750,000 grant that prepares students for high-demand opportunities in Massachusetts' life sciences industry, were honored at ceremonies yesterday for successfully completing the intensive hands-on curriculum. The specialized Pathmaker classes consist of 14 hours of hands-on training twice a week for 8 weeks. Students also receive transportation reimbursement, an educational stipend, a laptop computer, and job placement assistance. Pathmaker graduates have already begun interviewing for positions in the state's biotech and biomanufacturing workforce. For the past 5 years, the graduation rate for both the associate's degree and certificate programs at Quincy College has been 97%, with a job placement rate for graduates of 99%. A staff member at Brockton High School was hurt yesterday while breaking up a fight between students. The school's been the subject of public debate in recent weeks. 4 school committee members asked for the Massachusetts National Guard to be brought in over safety concerns. The latest violent incident happened yesterday morning. A Brockton school spokesperson said the staff member was evaluated by the nurse and sent home. The district said the students who were involved will face discipline in accordance with district policy and procedures. Brockton police are also investigating. Brockton's police chief says the department has received 800 calls for service from the school district this year, compared to roughly 1,100 the entire year before. One solution may include the integration of two more clinical social workers into the high school. Brockton Neighborhood Health Center Deputy CEO Maria Selly says that she has two ready to step in. Four school committee members asked Governor Healey to use the National Guard to end chaos at the school. Healey declined, but provided the city with a grant in order to audit the current safety conditions. Missing Milton teenager Mimi Haria was found in Boston yesterday after going missing over the weekend. It's still unknown what led to her disappearance. A security guard from One Financial Center saw her roaming the area and brought her in. She was last seen Saturday afternoon when she traveled from Kent's boarding school in Augusta, Maine to South Station. Her father said typically the bus drops the students off at South Station on Summer Street. On that day, he said the bus didn't come on Summer Street, and it was not communicated to that it was a new driver who went to the Peter Pan garage. Her family and friends were out yesterday putting up signs and photos of Mimi in the area. Brian Walsh was active yesterday in both the major criminal cases he's involved in. He had his first hearing in months in the murder case over the alleged killing of his wife, Anna, while his lawyer in federal court appealed a sentence recently handed down over art fraud. At the status conference at Norfolk Superior Court in Dedham, lawyers for the two sides established that Walsh's new court-appointed lawyer still needs to catch up on the evidence in the murder case. The next date in the case was set for May 1st. Walsh's appearance was waived for yesterday's hearing, and while he had been due to appear virtually, he wasn't on the Zoom call. The hearing came less than 2 weeks after Walsh was sentenced by a federal judge for a years-long art fraud scheme that he pleaded guilty to before the alleged murder of his wife. He was sentenced to 37 months in prison for the art scheme, but also yesterday his lawyer in that case filed an appeal to that sentence. A bill to ban the use of pain-causing procedures on people with disabilities in Massachusetts has again died in committee. Supporters say the bill would have effectively banned the use of controversial electric skin shock devices at a Canton residential home for people with autism and severe intellectual disabilities. Currently, the Judge Rottenberg Educational Center is the only place in the country that administers the shocks. As of 2020, about 45 to 50 people were receiving shocks. The Joint Committee on Children, Families, and Persons with Disabilities sent the bill to study in February, effectively killing it this legislative session. Opponents include some former students and leading medical groups who say the devices are unnecessarily cruel and ineffective in the long term. A UN investigator has called their use torture. But Judge Rottenberg Center staff and some parents say the devices help stop aggressive and harmful behaviors. Last September, a state Supreme Court ruled in favor of continuing to allow the center to administer the shocks on new patients with court approval. The ruling said that the State Department of Developmental Services can contest individual decisions or await a potential legislative ban. Efforts to ban the devices have failed on Beacon Hill for years. Sponsor and State Rep Danielle Gregoire says she will continue pushing for the bill's passage. The Massachusetts Teachers Association wants the state to stop using the MCAS test as a graduation requirement. The union is pushing to get the matter before the voters. Some lawmakers do not want that to happen and are trying to find their own resolution first. A hearing was held yesterday on Beacon Hill about the MCAS. Currently, high school students are required to pass the standardized test before being allowed to graduate. Opponents say that's unfair to many students like English language learners. Opponents of dropping the requirement say it would lower education standards and make it harder for the state to support districts whose students are struggling academically. Massachusetts will receive $350 million in federal funding for the project to replace the Bourne and Sagamore bridges, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Senator Ed Markey, and Congressman Bill Keating announcing yesterday the federal money for the Cape Cod bridges was included in the fiscal year 2024 Energy and Water Development Appropriations Act, which was released yesterday by the Senate and House Appropriations Committee. The federal funding matches a request from President Biden in his budget to provide an initial investment of $350 million toward a total commitment of $600 million for the project. The $350 million investment builds on the $372 million grant that the U.S. Department of Transportation awarded the State Department of Transportation last December for the replacement of the bridges. Last August, Governor Healey announced her administration would take a phased approach to replacing the bridges. The administration plans to immediately start construction on a new Sagamore Bridge while also laying the groundwork for a future replacement of the Bourne Bridge. The state also applied for another $1 billion for the Sagamore Bridge replacement project from the Bridge Investment Program's Large Bridge Project Program. Healey administration included $262 million toward replacing the bridges in its fiscal 24-28 capital investment plan, with the goal of ramping that up to $700 million in the long term. Both bridges opened to drivers in 1935 and are responsible for transporting hundreds of thousands of people on and off the Cape every year. According to the state, the Bourne and Sagamore bridges are functionally obsolete, and they no longer meet the needs of the traveling public. A check of business news this morning. Stocks retreated. The Dow was down 97. The NASDAQ fell 67, and the S&P lost 6. Shares are mixed in Asia. The dollar and the euro are down. Oil at $78 a barrel. Sports: Bruins beat Toronto 4-1, and they'll be taking on Edmonton at the Garden tonight at 7:30. Celtics are in Cleveland tonight at 7:30. Forecast from the National Weather Service. Rain today, mist and drizzle, and a high 46 degrees. For tonight, showers, low 37. Tomorrow, rain in the afternoon. It'll be mild at the high of 60 degrees. Windy and rainy on Thursday, the high of 48. Partly cloudy Friday and a high 49. For the boater, waves about 2 feet, wind out of the east, 5 to 10 knots. Next high tide, not till 7 p.m. Sunrise, 6:11, sets at 5:39. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Tuesday, March 5th.